Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I love the Lord our God and King. Great things are happening in these days. God loves his people. His return is soon. His return is imminent. And I desire to see his return. And great expectations. But I'm still here. So my main concern is on the people of God. I want to see God's people flood in. I want to see people come into the kingdom of God. But I believe there's a great revival happening right now, unlike any other revival in the history of man right now. I believe that the Lord has saved so many people. And it's different. God is after the heart. He's looking at the heart. He always did and he always will. He always has. And he put things together so people that love him would come to him. Now he gave me instructions and I obeyed him. So I expect the best because of the guidance that he gave me. And I know the Lord. He don't do something for nothing. Everything he do has a magnificent purpose. And looking at all the things that happen, I can say truly that the Lord is saving many people. People know better. Even people in the world, they are when they love the world somewhere, it's hard for them to come in. But some people know what's true. They know that Jesus is the only way out of this. And they're trying, you know, they have reasons to, that from that point of view, to stay like they are. Sometimes, you know, I felt like I want to make sure I'll do right. You can't go back and forth with God. You have to do right. And I was very concerned about that. But there was a time that I desired things that was of the world. And I had to deal with that. And I didn't want to, nobody wants to go to hell. But you don't take it seriously when you're in the world. When you're in the world, you don't take it serious. Even though people tell you, it's kind of like a metaphor. And it's not a metaphor. And it's not a metaphor, it's real. Everything that God say to us is real. We must know that we can follow him. We're not entering into a metaphor, we're entering into life. And that's where when people live according to God's word, they live the light. It encourages people to become bolder towards the light. Once you're in it, you know it for yourself if you have a relationship with the Lord. Daniel said it this way. He said, they that do know the Lord will be strong and do exploits at a time of terrible, tremendous trouble. Now, the time that he was talking about, it covers every all time periods. But he was mainly referring to the time of day when the Antichrist would appear during the Great Tribulation period. Now, people that do know the Lord will be strong and do exploits. It happened during the Maccabees. It happened with the wars of Israel. There were always a remnant that would stand. It happened in the days of Gideon. They that do know the Lord. Gideon stood after he got to know the Lord. He did things to get to know the Lord. Then he became steadfast and unmovable in his faith. Jesus did the same thing. The disciples did the same thing. The 70 returned with good news. That's how it's got to be. That's your heritage. That's what Satan's trying to hide from humanity. And cold, dead religion, you know, I call cold religion, that's the way of the Pharisees and the way of Herod. You know, Herod loved power. Pharisees loved power. And, you know, I don't like politicians, the classical politicians that tell people what they want to hear and string people along like a carrot. You know, that, you know, they hang that carrot in front of a donkey and they string them along. We don't need props and crutches. We need the love of God. And then the kingdom of God works. And you don't have to tease people along with blessings and miracles. See, the enemy comes and quells things down using good things. If the focus is on the miracle and not the one who made the miracle, it's all messed up. See, now the Lord has raised up a people that love him. They're not trying to follow the next move or the next fad, so to speak. He wants people that love him and love each other. And he's getting it. And people that love, that have that kind of love, they don't feel like they need props and crutches to follow God. They don't have to be super amazing. You just have to fall in love with God. And I've been going to church all my life. I've seen it all. Or I've seen enough. But there are some people out there that have that genuine, unfailing love of God. When things go wrong in their life, they still love God. When things go right in their life, their love is stable. When they hear bad news, they love God. And they encourage other people. I've seen this all my life. And then there are those who run with the wind, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, every new thing. They are all upside down. They don't know what to trust. But they that do know the Lord will be strong and do exploits. And if it can happen in the worst of times, it's understood that it can happen in the best of times. But in the best of times, people do what they want to do. But when danger happens, then they try to find safety. And they try to they look high and low for safety because they want to be safe. When all you have to do is look to Jesus and you are safe. That was my second message. We're safe. As a preacher, the second message I preached was we're safe. I got it on tape somewhere. But God loves us. He cares about us all throughout our life. I mean, I was introduced to God. I came to the Lord. My cousin told me about Jesus. And then two Coke men came in the grocery store I worked. They sold Coca-Cola. And they witnessed to everybody in the store. And we all got saved like dominoes. And we encourage each other. And I learned a lot. I learned some of the most foundational things in that grocery store by a man named Chris Lucas. He was about my age. But he got saved about a few months before me or a year before me. When the Colton, first James got saved, then Chris got saved. And then they told Earl about the Bible. He got excited. And he said, I'm going to go buy me a Bible and read it. It was payday. And Earl was in the band we had. And I said, now Earl, he finna go to heaven. I'm going to hell. And I said, oh, wait a minute. I don't want to go to hell. I said, I asked the Lord to save me. While I was asking the Lord to save me, the enemy spoke. He said, you're going to be bored if you get saved. I said, I don't care. Jesus died for me. And I believe on him. I asked the Lord to save me. And I meant it. I came to a point that I meant it and I was ready. And I said, I didn't know how I was going to stand. I still was confused about how I was going to actually pull this off. But I asked the Lord to save me. I wanted to do right. And I had wanted to do right a long time. And so I sympathize with people that have not come in yet. Some, you know, when I was 18 or 17, I started beginning to desire the things of God. But I was still in the world, and I was still doing things of the world. But I wanted to know that I would stop using profanity when I did, or anything that was wrong. If I was presented with things that I would like that was just wrong, I wanted to know that I would turn away from it. And at that time, I didn't think I could, or I didn't think I would. But I wanted to be right with God. I didn't want to die and go to hell. But remember, when you're in the world, heaven and hell seems like a metaphor more than reality. But I saw how my parents lived. I had been to church all my life. I knew some things were just right. But I didn't experience it for myself. So what's going on, some people go to church. Now, if I had died, I would have got a Christian burial. It's like everybody else. Because I went to church all my life. I was the pastor's son. But I knew for a fact I was not saved. And that's just, and God knew it. And such so are people now that go to church because their parents tell them they got to go. And it's the, and then they get married and they keep going. But one day you got to decide, I'm going to do this because it's right. I believe on Jesus for myself. Now that's when you're going to get to know God for yourself. Now Gideon had heard about the Lord and all the miracles of Moses and Aaron and Judah, the tribe of Judah. He had heard about all the miracles, and Caleb, he heard about it all his life. But now he's asking the Lord, where are all the miracles? And he didn't know the Lord. The angel appeared to him. He doubted himself, just like I did. And then the Lord started working with him. You know, he put out the fleece. He started getting to know the Lord for himself. This is interaction. And of course, we do it by drawing near, and the Holy Spirit will tell us. But if, you know, I know it's been taught that don't put out fleeces, but God will work with a person. I know for a fact God will work with a person where they are. And I used to put out a fleece, but mine was, I said, Lord, cause my pastor to say what I need. I need to know what to do with this, with my situation. And it would be concerns I had about taking a job or not, or buying tools or something, or you know, anything that was that I needed an answer from God when I go to church on Sunday. That was an easy way for me to receive an answer for God. So while he was preaching, I asked the Lord to cause him to say what I need. And it happened all the time. The Lord was working with me. I didn't have my relationship with him was developing. And I had to learn to hear his voice. And know when it's him and not me. I had to learn these things. But when I got started, I trusted my pastor. And he had done it before. And when I wanted to know something, I said, Lord, call him and say, I still do it. It's not when God give me a hard case, if he say something that's new to me or different to me or something I didn't expect, I learned that if I stay in faith, he'll give me a confirmation. And I go to a good church. You know, a good church is like having a good marriage. I know what it's like to have a not so good marriage or a bad marriage, and then have a good marriage. I've been to some good churches. I've been to great churches. I've been to some churches where things just didn't go the way they should. But now I go to a wonderful church, and if I need a confirmation, I ask the Lord. The difference now, I just say, Lord, I need you to confirm this. And he'll cause people to say what I need. And I know when I go to church or listen to one of the podcasts that, you know, God answers. Because he has people that love him talking. See, we don't need anybody to teach us. We need the anointing. But guess what? That anointing is not just limited to your anointing. The anointing is one anointing. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit, he puts it on his people. So when my pastor's talking to me with the anointing, that's the Holy Spirit. If he's talking to me himself, that's the Holy Spirit. If he uses another minister, male or female, that's still the Holy Spirit. And I just receive. I don't care who God used, he can use a child. But there are wonderful men and women of God that just love God. And that's where, and when people live the life, it's easy to receive from them. When they have a record of character, and they say something, and those words are heavy. So the Lord will give it to me where if he need me to believe it, he give it to me through somebody that I trust, that has earned my trust. And people at church have earned my trust, and that's just the way it is. And I thank God for all of them. And we have such a good time in the Sunday school. We be talking about the things of God, and the Lord just And we take turns ministering. We don't minister long. We minister. We take about 20 minutes each. And you can see the oneness of God. Then we go to church service, and then either Senior Pastor Jim or Pastor Jim will say the same thing. And we just look at each other and start nodding out. Just like I did with my children. I used to teach my children at home on Saturdays. And they come over every weekend, and I teach them at home. And then I take them to church, and little Jim would be, you know, he's Pastor Jim. Now, he say the same thing, even get the same scripture references. And that stuck with them. They saw the handiwork of God. Now, the Lord is after sincerity, not just people who will run after fads. And people have made a mess. If the leadership have done that to people, you know, they try to help, but you got to get people's focus on Jesus. The miracles are designed to get their focus on Jesus. But when people do things and promise blessings, and it causes people to look at God like he's some kind of Santa Claus. He's not a Santa Claus. He's your father. Your father will tell you to do what's right because it's right. He will counsel you in life. He will give you instruction in life. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He's like a parent to us. Now, and Jesus he opened the door for us. We come to Christ. We come to Father God through Christ. We must never forget the blood of Jesus and what it cost him to save us. And from there we have a relationship with our Father. And the Holy Ghost will guide us into all truth. Now Santa Claus just bring you toys and forget about you. If you do good, you know, the fable, that's a fable, first of all. But the fable is, if you've been good, he'll leave you toys. If you've been bad, he'll put ashes in your eyes. Now, forget Santa Claus. And never equate God with Santa Claus again. I've heard people say, if God loved me, why I got a flat today? This flat is real. You know, I heard Creflo Dollar mention that one time. He said people walk out of church, they got a flat. They were in there rejoicing, but then now they got a flat, they mad and frustrated. And then they said, well, this flat is real. Now, God is with you if you got a flat. God is with you if your whole engine blow up. God is with you no matter what happens. And what was going to happen was going to happen anyway. But God is with you. That's the kind of, people got to get to that point where God is with them. Whether they have a flat or whether they have a running car. Or good circumstances. If your spouse leaves, God is still with you. He don't leave us or forsake us. And it happens to people. That doesn't mean God turned his back on you. You're just going to have to one day get to know the Lord. And sometimes people don't get serious to know the Lord until something happened to them. But you don't have to wait till something happened unfavorably. If things are going good, that's the best time to give God your best attention. If you give God your attention, he can work. He's looking for sincerity. And now he's got to come back. So he raised up prophets to warn people. And I'm one of them. He told me in 2017. He started dealing with me about the end times in 2016. I was teaching other things in 2015. But 2016, at the fall of 2016, he started dealing with me about his return. In 2017... he said something that it was November, right the weekend before Christmas. I woke up that Saturday morning. The time I opened my eyes, the Lord said, "Tell my people my return is imminent, and to be ready that they be not left." And I hadn't heard language like that. Preachers don't preach that way anymore. Now my pastor taught people to stay current. But we have a loving church. But there are people, you know, sometimes people will get caught up into something. And when people love God, you don't have to tell them to be ready all the time. But He did. He did tell you, be, stay covered. If you know you've been doing wrong, do right. Turn from it. Now, pastors know when people do right or wrong, whether they admit it or not, because the Lord will show it to them so he can counsel them and help them and pray for them. So, but he said, stay covered. Now, this kind of language I hadn't heard since the early 80s. He said, tell my people my return is imminent. Be ready that they be not left. Why would he say something like that about his own people? Because people have allowed corruption in their heart. James said, purify your heart, you sinners. People have wandered off into sin. Gossip, slander, backbiting, strife, lust. And I heard there are so many men watching pornography. God's not going to take that to heaven. He's not going to bring something to heaven that'll start another insurrection. See, Daniel said something in chapter 9. He said, there will be an end to sin. Do you understand what that means? That means that Satan is going to be out of the picture. Now, Jesus won. When he got up from that grave, when he died on the cross, he said, it's finished. He had defeated Satan. He went to the lowest part of hell, stayed there 3.5 days and got up. 3 days and three nights he was there. And he got up. And we got up with him. And he saved us. And there's going to be an end to sin. And sin is not going to be a thing anymore. Here it is right here. It's Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. He says, 70 weeks are, this is the angel talking to Daniel. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, look at this part here. 7 weeks I determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins. So he died for us. He paid for our sins. And we know that Christ is going to reign on earth for 1,000 years. And when that happens, after that happens, Satan's going to be loose to tempt what he could. And why was God loose Satan after he locked him up? Remember something about Satan. He was an angel, and he was a Nephilim, an angel, and he fell. He got into sin, and now he's repurposed. See, God doesn't waste anything. He's like a vacuum cleaner for sin. Everything that will fall, he'll suck it up. And he got into the church. He threw tares and wolves. Some preachers are wolves. They're not sincere before God, and they have influence as a pastor, or as an apostle, or as a prophet, or as a teacher, or as an evangelist. But they're a dog and a wolf. And so people have been betrayed, and a lot of wrong has happened. But God loves us. He didn't give up on us. When this COVID-19 thing happened and people talking about the end of the world, people started studying for themselves for a change. They were at home with their kids. They didn't have nothing to do. And one preacher, he noticed that they bought up all the Bibles. I say there's a revival happening. And there's another factor that I thought about. God gave us a godly president, Donald Trump. Now, people would question that, but he did things that was right. And not all, you know, it's not that his character was so godly. It was his heart and the things that he did. He did what he said he would do. He said he would make America great again and drain the swamp. And he kept covenant with Israel. He did things for Israel. He did things for the church. He put things in place so the church won't be harassed. And this gave us reprieve for, so that we could do things. And he exalted Jesus. No other president in my life did that. Unless I was a baby when JFK was the president. So after JFK, I hadn't heard anybody honor Jesus like President Trump did. None of them. And they say even Carter is a Christian, and I hope so. But I know that Trump honored Jesus. See, when you have a righteous king, one preacher said that in the days of Elijah, he had so many wonderful miracles, but there was no revival while Ahab was king. When you have a godly president or godly people rise up, the standards are higher, and it affects the nation because people are looking to that person. Unless you know to look at Jesus, that's what people do. People look at presidents. Now, I learned to look at Jesus, no matter who was the president. It didn't really bother me about who the president was. I wanted us to have a good one. But when you have a wicked president, you don't have, you know, you can track it. Go back and look at the greatest revival, who was the president. That's a factor that people have disqualified. But when you have godly presidents, then you're more apt to have a revival. Now, sometimes, when people start looking at Jesus, you can still have revival, just like I had a revival in me, no matter who the president was. But I remember the time when they talked about President Clinton more than they talked about Jesus in church. And I went to word churches in those days. I got tired of hearing about what Bill Clinton was doing and what people shouldn't do. I wanted to hear what Jesus was saying. So when I got out of church, I went home and went to church. I went in God's presence and forgot about all the stuff that Clinton was doing and started focusing on Jesus. And there are other people that did the same thing I was doing. And you have to. And you're supposed to be praying for the president, even if they're not right with God. You have to pray for the nation so you can live a peaceable life, because they'll do disastrous things that affect you. And he signed in the North American Free Trade Agreement, which took some of our jobs out, and it made life harder people lost homes and got in more debt and couldn't pay their bills. But that's what happened if you don't pray. If you don't look to Jesus, there's a lot of things that you won't be aware of that's coming up on you. The disaster's coming, but if you're not looking at Jesus, you won't know it's coming. You know, I heard people that work like a good job, like U.S. Steel or whatever, and they don't know when they're going to get laid off. But sometimes they max out their debt. They buy houses and cars. They can afford it. And boats and motorcycles. And then when they get laid off, they got to pay for this stuff. One man said, "I'm so glad I didn't buy a new car last year." He was up about at retirement age, but when they went on strike or shut down, he was still in good financial shape. See, if you spend time with Jesus, I don't know if he spent time with Jesus or not, the Lord will show you what's to come. He'll give you dreams, but you got to pay attention. And now I say he's raised up people in this revival that love him from the heart. And I say that this is the greatest revival under Trump's administration. And I don't say this lightly, but I mean this. This is the greatest revival in our history right now. But I don't know how you'll know it, because it's been prophesied that the Lord will use common people, not big. See, people looking for big name people, you know, that's on TV or radio or whatever, to pack the churches out. It's not working that way. This is of the heart. You're going to have more and more people living for the Lord from the heart. And they're scattered abroad all over the world. Jesus is appearing to people in Iran. It's not just limited to our county. You may not know. The only way you'll know it, you have to take this to the Lord in prayer like I did. But the Lord is moving by his Spirit. I say that every broadcast, God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And he's doing things that people would discount. If you know him, then you'll be able to see him. If you spend time with him, he can clue you in on what he's doing. And he'll give you your part to play. But once he raptures us, the world is going to see things. Something's going to usher in that Antichrist. They're going to look at him as a savior from something. So when they see giants, people that prophesied, Steve Quill did a wonderful job talking about how giants would return, big ones. I'm talking 10, 15 foot giants and other things, aliens, things that people, you know, just look. The ancient aliens is already grooming people for this foolishness that's about to return. So you're going to have to know God. And I heard all my life that when the rapture comes, the world going to have some solution why it happened, some scientific reason. And they'll probably say the aliens got us. No, it's Jesus that's going to rapture his church. When you see aliens, you need to know Jesus at that point. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. I know how Satan is, so nothing can surprise me anymore. I've seen it. I've seen the spirit world before. I know about it. Nevertheless, you got to know Jesus. Now, I'm out of time. The Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.